Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Public Advocate. I am your host, Sally O.L. Cordy, and today we are talking about peacebuilding with Deborah Potts. We will be talking about Syria in the second half of the show with Rick Cooley. But with the world at the precipice of war, I thought it was very important to talk to somebody who really understood having lobbied for a U.S. Department of Peace and actively promoting a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding, that I interviewed Deborah Potts so that people start to think in terms of peace. What are the alternatives to war? And this is what the U.S. Department of Peace and the Department of Peacebuilding, this is the focus. So I am very eager to hear what she has to say. I will pick her up in just 1 minute. Thank you. Hold on. Hello, my friend Deborah? Nope, you're not there yet. Hold on just a sec. Deborah Potts is my guest. Are you there, Deborah?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful. Well, we certainly are looking at a very scary time in the history of the world, and I'm very happy you joined us today so that you can give us a review of how it could be.
Okay, I'd like to start out with that, actually, with where we are with Syria. First of all, thank you so much for having me on this program.
Well, thank you for always being the first person to call my attention to peace actions in Congress. So, I mean, I like to go out and reach people and tell them to get active. And more often than not, when Dennis Kucinich was on a bill, you were the first to post it. So I could jump on it and then get other people to support it. So I really value that, the heads up that I always got from Deborah Potts.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I always like to have whatever Congressman Kucinich was doing, particularly around the Department of Peace. And it's all interconnected. That was the very important thing, that everything that Congressman Kucinich did was interconnected. And some way or other would connect to a Department of Peace building. So I always like to post those.
So
anyway,
go ahead. I'll let you break it down the way you expected, but I have leading questions if not.
Okay, so would you like to ask your questions first or wait until...
No. Well, I am not as familiar with you on any level with Barbara Lee's Department of Peace building. However, what I found was really important in terms of a U.S. Department of Peace, and I found that people came to lobby in Washington, D.C., as did you, as did I, but often they specialized in one half or the other, one half being domestic and the other half being international peace. So perhaps you want to break it down by what the recommendations were domestically and then the recommendations internationally or vice versa. I don't know. It's up to you.
Okay, that is actually in what I was going to say, but that was towards the end, and I could actually deal with it up front if you want me to do that. 85% of the funding would go to peace-building programs here in the United States. But internationally, the Department of Peacebuilding would play a humongous role, and I was going to lead off with that.
Good. I hope you will, actually.
Okay. Yes. Last week, I watched Secretary of State John Kerry and Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel testify before Congress on the dire need, supposedly, for the United States to launch airstrikes on Syria. It was really challenging to distinguish between Secretary of State and the Secretary of Defense, since both seem to be leading the country into yet another war. So imagine for a moment that Secretary Kerry and Secretary Hagel are joined by a third cabinet member. Only this member would not be arguing the case for military strikes. Rather, this cabinet member, the Secretary of Peace voting, would instead present to Congress as well as to the President all known ways to respond nonviolently to the chemical weapons attacks in Syria. Now, I would like to read a few paragraphs from a speech that Congressman Dennis Kucinich delivered. This is known as the Power of Now Commencement Address at the American University in Dubai in May 9, 2012. Okay. We call forth from this world, which is so fraught with fear and foreboding, that which is beautiful and glorious, a new possibility, a new thinking, a new physics, if you will, of peace. We must do it with courage. We must do it in fulfillment of Salaam, the peace which comes from the unseen, the peace which comes from the heart, the peace which comes from our collective yearning, the peace which comes from an awareness that the world is one, that all people are interconnected, interdependent, one with the human family, one with the world, one with the spirit, one with the divine. War is never inevitable. Peace is inevitable if we desire to call it forward, if we approach it as a science. I speak of peace not simply as the absence of war, but as a practice of the science of human relations, as a capacity of human evolution and human development. But if we call peace forward from the unseen, we must name it, we must give it a structure, we must prepare for it a place to exist, a space to breathe, to be nurtured, to flower, so that it can be appreciated as an expression of that divine spark of creation. Think of the possibilities that we can create within every nation, a place where the best minds and hearts are brought together within the context of a cabinet-level position or ministry, wherein resides the power to develop social structures for peace and strategies to avert conflict between groups and between states. Dennis Kucinich.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful, as with everything. He's the only congressperson I ever heard use the word morality. And I thought, oh, what a breath of fresh air to introduce the concept of morality. And I believe he said it when he was in Wisconsin, when they were having all the problems there. He got up and addressed morality, and it was very moving and certainly appropriate and needed. But please do go on.
Okay, well, there's a bill in Congress, H.R. 808, the Department of Peacebuilding Act of 2013, introduced by Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California, very similar to the Department of Peacebuilding introduced by former Congressman Dennis Kucinich, which will establish a United States Department of Peacebuilding in the President's Cabinet. The Department of Peacebuilding will be...
That is an answer to a prayer, quite frankly. And I remember when we were lobbying in D.C., they were saying the State Department should be doing this. But because they're not, a Department of Peace is required.
Well, actually, the Department of Peace and the Department of State are totally two different entities. And I think I explained that in here. They do two different things. The Department of Peace does not in any way duplicate the Department of State or what the Department of State would do. So I think I mentioned
right.
that in there.
But the argument had been made, and they had to address that, in fact, the argument has been made that the Department of State should be handling this. But in defense of the Department of Peace, they said, but they're not, so this is required.
Right. Right. As to Syria could be handled differently by the Department of State if you're talking just about Syria, but there's a lot that the Department of State couldn't do in regards to the Department of Peace.
Right. I agree. Continue, please.
Okay. So some people may be wondering what peacebuilding is. So the United States defines peacebuilding as a range of measures targeted to reduce the risk of lapsing or relapsing into conflict by strengthening national capacities at all levels for conflict management and to lay the foundation for st- sustainable peace and development. And the Department of Peacebuilding will work to reduce and prevent violence domestically and internationally, and will make peacebuilding and nonviolence organizing principles of society. The Department of Peacebuilding will assist city, county, and state governments in coordinating existing peacebuilding programs and develop new programs based on best practices. We'll teach violence prevention and mediation to school children in the U.S., effectively treat and dismantle gang psychology, rehabilitate the prison population, build peacemaking efforts among conflicting cultures, both in the U.S. and abroad, support the military with complementary approaches to peacebuilding, create and administer United States Peace Academy, acting as a sister organization to the U.S. Military Academy, and much more. The Department of Peacebuilding will provide many functions. One function is that we'll give peacebuilding and nonviolence an equal seat at the table through a Secretary of Peacebuilding on the President's Cabinet. At this time, there's no real voice for peacebuilding on the President's Cabinet. The Secretary of State implements U.S. foreign policy, not domestic in focus at all, and as we've seen recently, is not a reliable voice for peacebuilding. And as you said, and the Department of Peacebuilding Secretary, however, will focus on reducing and preventing violence totally, and therefore will speak in the interest of peacebuilding completely. Therefore, it would be very, very, very inappropriate for the Department of Peacebuilding Secretary or the Secretary of Peacebuilding to be leading the country to war. That would just be, that just totally couldn't happen. A second function of the Department of Peacebuilding would be to make policy. This is a very important function, which requires a cabinet-level department status. A Department of Peacebuilding would make policy for the treatment of drug and alcohol abuse, crime prevention, assisting individuals who have been incarcerated in their, into their reentry into the community. Violence prevention. Which one?
People who are being to reenter society. I think that's really an important aspect.
Right. It was all kind of restorative justice practices and various programs that help people reenter into society. And that's being done. The thing is all of these measures are being done all over the country. Restorative justice is happening more and more, and it's being embraced in some places in, like, a pretty large way. Okay, and also it will build on existing policies and programs for the above, too. And the Department of Peacebuilding will bring together the peacebuilding expertise of the government and in the private sector, both nationally and internationally, for collaboration. And it will provide much-needed funding for the programs, research, and other initiatives. And there are around 30 peacebuilding initiatives in the U.S. government, which are scattered among various departments and agencies. And there are around 400-degree peacebuilding programs in the universities. And there are many other peacebuilding programs in the private sector, but they're doing excellent work, but they're still in the shadows and rarely reflected in public policy. The Department of Peacebuilding will make their work known of their really effective programs, provide funding for the initiatives, which are proven effective, and it would provide connection and collaboration for many peacebuilding practitioners and initiatives, which at this time are somewhat isolated from one another. Another really important thing about the Department of Peacebuilding is we know that not only are peacebuilding and nonviolence not organizing principles of society, but unfortunately violence is an organizing principle of society, since power over and control are forms of violence and often lead to and result from physical and other forms of violence. Therefore, violence has been the tool to deal with violence for millennia. The Department of Peacebuilding will be an overt acknowledgement that violence does not alleviate violence, but rather perpetuates and institutes violence, and will substantiate a shift from power over to power with, which will no doubt over time change the culture from a culture of violence to a culture of peacebuilding. And the past Department of Peacebuilding established the amount, as we've discussed,
the Department of Peace go, well, I can even discuss this one, but they established the amount the Department of Peace go would run on annually at $10 billion a year. Compare that with $60.2 billion spent on the war in Afghanistan in 2009, with 85% of that going to peacebuilding initiatives within the U.S. Now, the current bill does not specify any amount, but maintains that 85% of the funding will be for peacebuilding programs within the United States. And whatever amount is decided on, though, will be a very small fraction of the defense.
Hello? Deborah? Oh, my. Well, Deborah should be calling back in. I will try to get a hold of her now, tell her to call back in. I don't know what happened. So just give me a second while I try to contact Deborah and ask her to reconnect. So here we go. Call back into the program, Deborah. Okay, I just sent her a message. Hopefully she will get this in a timely fashion and call directly back into the show. My goodness. Well, you know, things are very iffy. It's hard to run a radio show without interruption if you want the truth. I guess I'm fortunate to be on air at all. But anyway, Deborah is an ardent peace activist, as you can tell. She is very savvy when it comes to a Department of Peacebuilding and the previous U.S. Department of Peace. And when Dennis Kucinich made privileged resolutions for withdrawal from Afghanistan and then from Libya, she was the first to post that so that I could get the word out to what turned into thousands of people to call their Congress people and say, support this privileged resolution for withdrawal. So here she is. Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
Sorry you got cut off.
Oh, that's okay. About how much time do we have? Because I want to definitely cover getting involved. So,
right. Well, you only have 3 minutes left unless Rick Cooley did not get my message to call in to the alternative number, in which case you'll have a lot more time. So why don't you take a moment and talk to people about how they can get involved, and if Rick doesn't call in, then continue on with what you were speaking about. I know you have a lot left to say in regard to what you were speaking about. So take this moment now to tell people how to get involved, and then we'll go back if Rick doesn't call in.
Okay, sure. Currently, Congresswoman Yvette Clark, and she's of the 9th District, New York, is the only U.S. representative from New York co-sponsoring the Department of Peacebuilding legislation, HR 8 away. Last year, however, there were 5 Department of Peace co-sponsors from the state of New York, 4 which have returned, including Rep. Clark. And the following New York representatives from 2012 have not signed on to the legislation, and that's Rep. Gerald Nadler in the 10th District, Rep. Charlie Rangel in the 13th District, Rep. Jose Serrano in the 15th District. And there are 4 other current U.S. representatives, again, for New York, who co-sponsored Department of Peace bills in Congress between 2007 and 2011, and they haven't signed on either. And that is Rep. Carolyn Maloney in the 12th District, Rep. Gregory Meeks in the 5th District, Rep. Nadia Velasquez in the 7th District, Rep. Paul Tonko in the 20th District. And that's a total of 7 past Department of Peace co-sponsors in New York, 6 in New York City, are currently in Congress and have not yet signed on to HR 8 away. So a phone call from all of you who wish to see a U.S. Department of Peacebuilding who live in the New York Congressional District, 5, 7, 10, 12, 13, 15, 20, thanking your reps for their past co-sponsorship of the Department of Peacebuilding legislation and asking them to co-sponsor H.R. 8 away, the Department of Peacebuilding Act of 2013, would be really helpful. And likewise, if your rep's not past co-sponsor and you wish to see a Department of Peacebuilding, please call your rep and ask them to support this legislation. That would be really helpful too. And you may find your U.S. representative by visiting www.house.gov, or you may call the Capitol Switchboard
at 202-224-3121 and ask to be connected to your representative.
Well, well put. I don't know if you're aware of Jade DeSaussure or Charlene Barker. There's a gentleman by the name of John and Kevin. These are all the people that I met in Washington when we were lobbying for Dennis's bill, and I know that they have continued on to approach legislators, and there are others, too, that I'm neglecting to miss. Carol, there's a woman, Carol Hilson, she was very active, and she's the one who got us a sit-down with Hillary Clinton's representative. A huge group of us went to when Hillary was the senator. So these people are still active. I definitely think possibly that you should contact them as well and see how they're doing and possibly introduce a Department of Peacebuilding if they have not picked up on Barbara Lee's bill, which is a continuation and further discernment for a Department of Peace, that definitely your networking with them would be important because they were fervently interested when Dennis Kucinich was leading this and perhaps not as involved since. So I think possibly I need to connect you with them if you are not already connected to them.
No, I'm not. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. Yes, delighted to. Okay, well, our second caller may not have gotten my message, so I will stop you if he does call in, but if he doesn't, why don't you continue on to describe the different aspects of this U.S. Department of Peacebuilding legislation.
Right. We were on the financial part of it and about how it would be such a small percentage of the discretionary budget and a small percentage of the defense, amount of defense funding. And a 2004, and this is kind of put in perspective, a 2004 World Health Organization report estimates the cost of interpersonal violence in the United States at more than $300 billion a year. The cost of victims was estimated at more than the cost of victims was estimated at more than $500 billion a year. Combined, this is the equivalent to nearly 10% of the gross domestic product, or GDP. And the Department of Peacebuilding will pay for itself with just a 3% reduction in overall violence in the United States. I'm sure that everyone has heard the saying, when one has a hammer, everything else looks like a nail, which continues humanity down the road of seeking control of others and power over others, thus perpetuating violence, but then wondering why there is so much violence. By focusing on prevention, the Department of Peacebuilding will make violence less necessary, and thus will consistently work to institute peacebuilding rather than violence by working to create win-win situations rather than win-lose circumstances. And by actualizing the reality that everyone is worthy, whole, and interconnected, so that Earth and all that are on Earth may thrive and prosper. So I could give you my contact information, and I can answer any other questions that you have.
Okay. Go ahead. Give your contact information, then I'll ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. I'm Deborah Potts, and that's DeBraPotts. And you may reach me at DeborahPotts2@gmail.com. Or you may find us on Facebook at Georgians for Department of Peace Facebook group, and that's www.facebook.com/group/DOP Georgia/. And that's a great place. Love to have you join us there. There's a whole lot of resources that you can download. And it's a great site for for connecting with peace builders and policymakers and activists and all. And then if you want to find resources for Department of Peace Building at the national level, that is, you contact the Peace Alliance, and that's www.thepeacealliance.org. And if you wish to get the resources at the international level, you will contact Global Alliance for Ministries and Infrastructures for Peace. And that's www.gamit.org/.
All right, excellent. I'm writing right now to Joseph Allegro, who is one of the people who lobbied with us in Washington, and he's in New York, and he's one of my Facebook friends. So I'm asking him to call in right now to talk to you, maybe he'll get this message in time. I don't know that my second guest has received the message to call in at the new number, and that's most unfortunate because he has a blog that I will refer people to in the comment area under this show that talks about Syria, and I felt that he represented a large portion of how Americans were feeling at this moment in history. So I wanted him to come on and basically represent on behalf of a multitude of Americans with his blog. But regardless, so maybe Joe will call in. But while I have you and I have a few minutes to ask you questions, won't you tell me how the bill that Barbara Lee has written is, first of all, I didn't know that 85% of the funding for the U.S. Department of Peace Building was for domestic peace building. And I was wondering, was there a different allocation for domestic versus foreign under Dennis Kucinich's bill?
No, actually, that came in the Kucinich bill, and that was a continuation of the Kucinich bill.
There are differences that you said that there were differences. If you'd like to clarify what those differences are, it would be helpful.
Oh, between the Department of State and the Department of Peace Building?
No. Between the U.S. Department of Peace Building, the initial bill, and the new bill, the U.S. Department of Peace Building.
Okay. Well, first of all, the name's different. It's Peace Building instead of Department of Peace. And if you go through, you have a really nice preamble. And the other one had a nice preamble, too. But in this preamble, you have the history of peace building. Like in 1999, the United Nations adopted a program, Action on the Culture of Peace. And then you have a definition of peace building from the United Nations, which I have already given. And you go on. The preamble is a history of peace building. I think that's really, I really like that because it helps people understand what peace building is. Also, this bill, the new bill, does not turn over any departments and any programs in other departments to the Department of Peace Building. The other one did. This one just points out collaboration, and it will take you through the different offices and tell you which department that office will collaborate with. Let's see, I think in domestic peace activities, that office will collaborate with the Department of Justice, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of State, and the Department of Education. And Office of International Peace Activities will interface with the Department of State, the Department of Labor, the Peace Corps, and the United States Institute of Peace. Also, in this bill, there's a mention of disassembling the patriarchy. I believe that comes in under Office of Peace Education, Office of Peace Education and Training. And I believe most of the offices are the same, but I think there is a difference in one office. And if there is a missing an office, then we have an additional office, but I'm not certain about that. But it's a longer bill, a considerably longer bill,
And overall, it goes into more detail. I like the old bill. I always like the old bill. And there were some things about the old bill that we don't have in this bill, but or that I haven't noticed. But I really do like this bill. My understanding is that it was the Peace Alliance, the Department of Peace Steering Committee at the Peace Alliance helped to write this. That's my understanding.
Well, I want to read something here because it says, the money required to eradicate hunger for everyone in the world has been estimated at $30 billion a year, about as much as the world spends on the military every 8 days. So if we spend $30 billion on the military every 8 days, a Department of Peacebuilding is a complete no-brainer at $10 million a year. Am I correct?
Right, and now we don't have that. We don't have the $10 billion specification anymore. That was the old bill, but still, it would still be very small in comparison. It would be a tiny fraction.
Really, it's a drop in the bucket. The thing is, people have to want it. So, if people do want it, is there a website that has been established like the old one for the U.S. Department of Peace that people could join in their states respectively, because you have a page for Georgia, but are there other, is there a website people can go to click on to join in their state?
Okay. The Georgians for Department of Peace Facebook group is not part of the Peace Alliance. Okay, that's very separate. If they wish to create their own Facebook group for their state, that's fine. But they can also go to the Peace Alliance, and there may still be, there was a page on the Peace Alliance website for state teams and local teams. And I'm not sure that's still up, but they can go and try that. They can try the dpeacealliance.org and search.
Well, it's important because that was, hello? Oh, dear, shoot, I lost my guest again. Well, anyway, the show is coming to an end, and I am very sorry to have lost my guest twice during this conversation, considering we were merely speaking about peace and paths to peace. Legislatively, we're trying to do things so that our own government allows the conversation of peace at the table of power. I always said I'd like to see the hippies have a seat at the table. And everybody thinks hippies, you know, is not a great word. I am honored when someone called me a hippie. I almost jumped for joy. I thought, how cool is that? I never knew I was a hippie. But I'm happy to know it because they were right, and they are still right, and we can live in peace. But we have to want it enough to get off our ducks and get into our legislator's office and say, support this bill. This is a really important bill. Here is another really important bill, one that I consider critical at this time above all others, and that's saying a lot. But it is the End the War on Terror bill, and it is H.R. 198. And that is also sponsored by Representative Barbara Lee, and I cannot encourage people enough to look into that. I found out about it through Roots Action, and they had asked people to support this, and I believe that's David Swanson. And he has been an advocate. I believe he used to work for Dennis Kucinich, so it's not a surprise that he's an advocate for peace. He's also an advocate against drones, and I've used his prototype resolution to introduce locally to Councilwoman Rosie Mendez for New York City. I've also introduced anti-BS. anti-NDAA resolution through her, Rosie Mendez of New York Council 2. And she won, by the way, just so you know, people who are advocates for peace, people are gravitate towards them. Last year, or last time she ran, she won by 83% margin, which was vastly higher than all other council people. Nobody came close to an 83% margin of support. But she also wrote a local resolution in support at that time for a U.S. Department of Peace under Denis Kucinich, and is eager to write another one in support of Representative or Belize U.S. Department of Peace building. So I thank my delightful guest, Deborah Potts, for calling in today, and so sorry that she was cut off early. However, her message got out, and that's what's important. Please contact her if you wish to get active, because she's very active in this regard, and very conscientious. So I really hope that you will connect with her, as I hope you will connect with me. My blog is Billion, with a B, Billion Toddler, Little People Who Wobble, Billion Toddler March for Survival.blogspot.com. And let us think in terms of diplomacy. Let us think in terms of diplomacy when it comes to war. There are so many other things that are injuring and hurting our children. You will find them all on my blog. And I hope you will really do your research, because we have no time to waste. Our children are truly imperiled, children all over the world, and children in this country as well. So thanks to my friend Deborah Potts, a fellow peace activist, and I am so honored she came on our show today. Cheerio to everyone. Goodbye for now. Sally O.L. Cordy, your host, a public advocate.